How you doing, you Garden State drunkers? This is Sizer Cozy, and you're listening to Steal This Beer.
Steal This Beer, a candid weekly discussion about beer, over beer, by a couple of guys that think about beer way too much.
Hey y'all, it's 5 o'clock on Monday and we're stealing beer. I am Augie Carton. I'm sitting next to John Hall, who's teaching me hacks on how to remember where we are tonight.
That's right.
Because we've moved,
on the table.
Guys. We've not moved on permanently.
Where are we?
We've not moved permanently.
Where am I?
You are at Treadwell Park in the VIP room, as far as I can tell.
Or this is like the room of shame. It's away from everybody. There's no windows.
There's also no weird video game music, which I think we'll miss in the
last. I'm going to miss
so
that.
Quiet. Yeah.
Anyway, thieves. So we now steal beer from New York City. I think John's made me promise, and we intend to go back to Barcade semi-regularly, but
yeah.
My day job moved us, so we are in New York City.
The rest of us are inconvenienced.
At Treadwell Park.
Yeah.
It's actually easier for me, John.
It's much better for Justin.
Myself and Kask are inconvenienced.
Just talk to my bosses into moving the company, so he knows.
That's how great a producer I am.
You've been
didn't fooled. Take that much money either.
You've been well, you told him it would torture me, and I'm happy with that. Anyway, we are stealing beer from Treadwell Park, downtown Manhattan. Yeah. And we are talking, our accomplice du jour is Ben Robinson, who has written a book called Beer Hacks, 100 Tips, Tricks, and Projects.
Yeah.
All right.
Here it is.
We've both received it. I flipped through it right away. Then promised myself I'd get back to it and go deep, and of course, never did, because I'm a horrible person. But John, you said you're familiar. Let me start with, you did a thing. I want you to defend, first you're going to defend one of your hacks, because you did a thing that I'm against, but I know is common knowledge amongst beer people, which is you suggest standing beer up, and I suggest laying it down when you store. And I figure we can just jump in right there with, I read it, of course, because it's something I disagree with, and you say too much air, and I say, but you'll know if the cap's no good in the long term, and that's more important information.
Mm-hmm.
So defend your hack. Get involved, Ben. Let's say hi and talk about that one to start.
Thanks for the tough one right off the bat.
You know, I get it, because everybody says it, but I always feel like that's born of people trying to sell their labels, right? Because wine collectors always have the readable top, so like, our labels need to show. That's my opinion. You go.
First off, thank you for having me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm finally a maybe VIP, if we ever
decide
what this room is.
At Treadwell on a Monday at 5. Nothing's got game like Treadwell's back room on a Monday at 5.
We've elevated the
game. There's a line 7 people deep right now.
This place is bursting. this one came down to, and I talked to a lot of people about basically everything in this book. You know, how much oxygen is sitting on top of what, essentially.
Right.
And more learned folk than me, held up a bottle and said, look at this. And there was a very, very small amount of oxygen sitting on top of your beer. And then they said, look at this. And then there was a lot more. I don't know if the science is complete on this one. There's also a somewhat contradictory hack in the book that specifically tells you how to free up space in your refrigerator using binder clips.
I see.
With the intention
pyramid
of
stack,
laying the
I
beers down. Yeah, a little solidifier for the pyramid stack. And the qualification on that one was, well, just drink it quick and then let's not really worry about any of this. Have some people over. So, yeah, I mean, I have beers in my beer fridge that are both ways, and I think some of it's by necessity.
I got you.
What about you?
I'm 100% side guy. I'm 100% side guy.
Why?
For a bunch of reasons. One, the actual capsule inside a cap is meant to scalp oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
So it's taking aroma off if it's got air. So putting in contact with the liquid stalls that, one. Two, I cellar long term. Like, you don't know this about me because this is our first drink, but I like really old things.
Mm-hmm.
Like I like to wait 5 or 10 years for a beer. And at that point, the breached cap is a much bigger deal than the oxygen exposure level or flat. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So knowing there's a leak in the cap way before I go to pull it out 10 years later lets me dispose
your
of
tipped.
It, drink it, or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, you just know that's coming.
So it's like you're using it as a warning system.
Yeah, like because the joke I like to make is there's no good beer, just good bottles. And if a cap is breached and you've been saving it for, you know, God forbid, you gave me something tonight, like, Augie, here's your favorite beer. See what happens in 5 years. And I have one in the cellar so I can play that game. If I put it down and next Thursday, little bits of liquid start dripping out of it, I know to open it next Thursday.
Right.
If 5 years from now I take it off the shelf standing up and open it, I'm like, dude, you're going to love it. And all we have is just sherry and soy because that whole time that leak was happening and I didn't know.
Because
now
I pre-breached the cap. Just to mess with you.
Just bad cat. Yeah. That would be good.
Dude, you're like, in it for the long
game. Poking. Uh-huh. All right. It's a good long con. I like
one
it.
For Ben.
All right. Well done, Ben. But so
got vision.
So and I like, so it's I don't think you intend this for the geekiest of geeks, right? This is kind of a I like beer book, not a I listen to a podcast on Monday nights by three fat guys talking about how beer tastes.
You guys look great. Like,
mostly
well, I
John.
Really I
do.
Know,
mostly
yeah.
John. He's standing on a stack of awards that he bought himself at the GABF this weekend. So he looks much taller than you.
Did you not buy me an award this year?
How
could I be jealous? Go on.
I didn't.
That's how they make their money.
You tried to return one last year, so it was...
they don't like me. Anyway, go on.
I have a strong assumption that the next year of my life is going to be people who have, in the more extreme geekdom realm, that have problems of one kind or many with my book. So I don't think it is for the person who thinks that they know everything and know better, although I'd love to have conversations with all of them.
Yeah.
And you know, really propel the sequel. But I think
it's
99
more.
Yeah. And I think and you guys know this, that I think a lot of people drink beer and people have varying levels of appreciation and involvement with the product. And I think that everybody should be a little bit more involved. And you know, here's 100 reasons to do so.
Right.
So
is that what inspired you to write this? I mean, how did Workman pitch you? They're your publisher. Did you pitch them? Like, how did this come about? I see you eyeing your publicist who's standing in the corner. But, you know, did this come about?
She's very good. Thank you, Chloe. No, so in some ways, you could say that it started with the lighter opener trick, which is, you know, for anybody who's been around beer, the oldest trick of them all, that I figured out.
Well, I mean, since fire and beer, but yeah.
Yes.
That's a trick?
You don't know that trick?
I don't.
The lighter trick?
Can you demonstrate?
Oh, I know the Bic trick. Yeah, I thought he was saying there's a trick with fire to open a beer other than just putting
the
beer
there, the Bic
trick. Getting it hot and watching the top
this is
pop.
The safe
you call
way.
Elon, you get the blowtorch.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You aim it at your doable.
It's clearly not a blowtorch because yeah. He wrote it on every box. This is not a blowtorch.
This is not a blowtorch. Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, it only works
anyway,
on the Hyperloop.
So it started with opening a beer with a lighter.
Yeah, and you know, people that could, it was handy. It worked. Every once in a while, somebody was impressed. And over time, you know, you figure out other ways to open beers.
Yeah, you've the
spent
wedding
a lot
ring
of time,
one, right?
Yeah. Wedding ring one, which has been tested, and my ring has been rubbed back into usability.
Yeah, bent because of it, yeah. Depends on the type of metal, yeah.
But
mine's no good for it.
Yeah, you know, like how, yeah. Like you get stuck and with room temperature beer and, you know, it's something that you want cold. Well, how do you do that? And over time, you start to figure these things out. Then you realize that maybe due to the internet or something else, the entire world is addicted to hacking things.
Yeah.
And then you sit down and see if you can come up with about, you know, 93 more.
So
you start
long?
Talking to people.
So now divide them up. If there, so there's obviously 100. So theoretically, percentages would be easy if anybody knew how to do percentages.
They're tough, but especially out of 100.
But so I don't know. How would you divide up the hacks, like practical, silly, fun, or, you know, super geeky, entry level, whatever? How would you, is there a subcategory in your head of the hacks, and how do they split up? Like, because making beer cold, you know.
usually actually not that fun unless I brought my 70-pound fire extinguisher. Fire extinguisher.
Now that there was from one of the shows, though, right? That's from one of the shows, though, right? Didn't
and they debunked it,
MythBusters?
Right?
No, I think they decided it was the best way to make something cold.
Yeah, they proved
it.
Hurry.
Okay,
but that's from one of the shows, right? I just when I read that, I was like, I've seen this before.
I eventually, in the course of writing the book, found my way to there, but that was something that it came about from just talking to people.
Did you do
tell
it?
Me your hacks is what I said to
they so whoever you
most people
to
I knew
show,
for about a year.
But did you actually use a fire extinguisher to cool down a beer to prove this yourself?
Absolutely.
And then did you drink
too loud.
The beer after?
Look, yes. The VIP section you got did. Out of hand. They
so
just
how did you clear
in?
Off all of the foam and all of like the chemical powder and shit?
So this is actually pretty good. So I got a fire extinguisher, brought it out back. Luckily, I have a little backyard in Brooklyn.
You got a fig
sprayed
tree?
The beer.
Justin, do you have a tree?
No, the guy next door does.
Every
I got a rooftop and a terrace.
If I really wanted a fig, I would just have to just like step on a box.
It'd be a pilferer.
And,
I like it.
It'd be pretty easy. And so I got the fire extinguisher. I sprayed a thing to hell. Pick it up. Seems like the same temperature, but maybe something's going on with the can. And inside, it's fine. And so I take a sip. It tastes horrible. And the beer is no different whatsoever. I had the wrong kind of fire extinguisher. Oh. You need a CO2 fire extinguisher.
Not the chemical
and
kind.
You were using
not
the
not
chemical,
chemical kind. That,
or the water one from 1931.
Is incredibly poisonous. That's what, I mean, if you
those
hit
like
it.
Pump top ones.
Those are filled with Billy beer, actually. Yeah.
I mean, if the water was cold enough.
Sure.
So then, I had a whole big roundabout, shipping situation with Amazon. Eventually got the fire extinguisher for free, which is great because it cost about $370, and they delivered it late.
Here goes your advance, Jesus.
And I went out back again, scared the hell out of the neighbor's dog because it emits a resounding noise, and it took 10 seconds, and you pop it. It's got this long cup that you can actually drop the beer into. It's almost like it was designed for this express purpose. And it was cold. It was beautiful, and everything just evaporates.
Okay.
It's just carbon dioxide.
And it gets
so
it down.
So you guys are like 10 seconds. You're like a metal show.
Oh, yeah.
And then you had a frosty bevy at the other end.
I like it. So what brings us together on Steal This Beer is a candid conversation about beer, what it is and what it's doing and where we would put it in our lives. Not what we hoped it would be, thought it should be, or what the heck ever. To facilitate that, John and I drink blind out of black glasses. They're opaque, and they're finally all the right size again.
They
Justin.
Are. Thank you, Augie.
You're welcome. Happy. Congratulations on... Did you not buy yourself an award this time?
No, I didn't buy myself an
and
award.
And you didn't
either.
Buy us one either.
Spent too much money getting this podcast.
John and his first class John and his first class tickets. We had no money left to buy rewards. Yeah. How many rewards did you buy yourself?
Three. I bought three.
Well done, sir. Yeah. Is that $15 a piece? Yeah. Or did they give you a bargain deal?
I get the John Hall discount. Well done. It's the five-finger discount.
All right, so... what do you got on this one there, Johnny Cakes? What's it smell like?
So, it's interesting. At first, I was getting something that it reminded me of like a quad. Like it had some of those, the plum and fig and some of those darker stone fruits almost verging on, like more like plum. But now I'm getting more of a stout thing that's coming off of it as well.
Huh.
Like I'm getting a little bit of that that chocolate syrup, a little bit of that like amaretto kind of dusty... liqueur type thing that kind of shows up a little bit more in some of the boozier beers, a little bit sherry oxidized, like it's a little bit maybe like an old ale or something. So I'm bouncing back and forth between quad and stout, something darker but something that has some fun intriguing fruit notes to it. Oh, did I send you on a different path?
I love what you just did there.
Yeah, you did.
I definitely get what I will call kirsch from the fruits you are describing. But
I'm sorry, what?
Kirsch. Just kirsch? That boozy cherry flavor. Yeah. The like if it was cheap, it'd be that purple stuff. You know what I mean? Chambord.
You guys haven't even sipped it yet?
No,
I have. But here's the thing. When I tasted it, I got all the fruits you're talking about, and I just assumed they were adjuncted because I wasn't getting the body that represents any of the beers you're saying.
Right.
But I got boozy and fruit notes. But I like the idea of it being like an American quad or a barley wine because that's...
What do barley wines smell like, Justin? That's in your book.
Barley wines smell like...
paper. Everything in Justin's book smells like paper.
printed paper.
Like paper that's been rubbed vigorously.
At least you guys have pictures. Give me something.
Sounds like vigorously rubbed paper. Oh, now you got. Now I want it to be completely of the four ingredients.
It's kind of fun, but I don't know. There's something as it's going down where I'm getting like a little bit of boozy warmth to it as well.
What's that old curmudgeon or whatever?
Old crustacean?
Is that what I'm thinking of?
That's a Founders, right?
But what's it taste like? What kind of beer is it?
Old curmudgeon, yeah. It's a Founders beer.
I always thought that beer was a little bit more heavy, a little bit more viscous than this is. Yeah. Because this is really light mouthfeel. This is...
I really like your barley wine call.
It's verging on it. But there's a little too much cocoa, a little too much like raw chocolate.
To be a barley wine. Not for your palate.
Right, not for my palate, but to be a barley wine in my mind.
Huh. Yeah. All right. I'm going to make us have a barley wine tasting. Mm-hmm. I'll open up all those different blends I have out of brewery. You'll bring stuff people have mailed you.
Yeah.
And I feel like this should be the warm-up beer. Okay. That's my sentence for this one. Like, if we were going to taste barley wines, I'm going to throw this at the top because I think it would be bodied by a lot of things I think of as barley wines.
But, yeah.
But I mostly leave them to guys like Patrick Rue, and he's a thick beer guy.
He is a thick beer guy. He also makes thick beer. God damn it.
Take a lap. That's unforgivable.
It is. Patrick's a friend. It's fine.
Was a friend.
He doesn't listen, does he?
No, nobody listens
to
this.
Nobody listens.
To be fair.
Sorry, you've been led astray. Like, this is,
somebody completely led
you. We have an audience of one, and these aren't connected to anything. This is all just kind of
and it's
joke.
Justin, and we're not even sure he listens.
I was just thinking about how we're getting into the warm weather cooking season, and if you get something that's cooking on the stove, or cold weather cooking season, I should say, warm food,
Did you do edibles in Denver?
Well,
you should have seen them on Friday night.
You weren't there.
Did you know they make wax lips now? I did not.
Actually, Friday night GABF, Ben Keen and I had an old-fashioned drinking contest, like with old-fashions. So,
an old-fashioned drinking
contest. It's just redundant to have an old-fashioned drinking
pretty
contest
much.
With old-fashions. Next time do it with Manhattans or Rob
So Royce. This would be, as I started cooking, knowing that once I got done with whatever's going to sit in a pot all day and become delicious by the end of the day, this would be the beer that I could have that would sort of get me on my way where I didn't have to be sharp while cooking for the rest of the day.
Yeah, and I like that its body...
It's a little thin.
It's defined by its alcohol, though. So
yeah.
If you did something thick like a stew, it might do that well.
Right. But this is sort of like, I wouldn't have to worry about like 5 o'clock rolling around and me not being able to
This has set me off on a night of crazy. I might ladle poorly if I start off a day with this. All right. So that's cool.
Hold on, Ben, have you had this beer before?
I have had this beer before.
Okay. Right. What's it doing for you right now?
Do our notes make any sense or is it a milk stout?
You guys are doing pretty good. You're getting close.
Did we hack it?
Did we hack it?
Not quite.
Although you got to like our soft monkey hack for hiding obfuscating the beer. That's
a
hack.
You're welcome to steal this.
So there's one of 99 for book 2.
Yeah.
Seen a lot of sock monkeys never on one of my own beers.
So this is Westy 8. It's a double.
Okay.
That makes total sense.
Yeah, you guys.
Probably it's a 4 ingredient beer.
Somebody said quad.
So it's a thinner quad.
Yeah. It's goddamn it. The body fits in for that.
But I love the berries.
Some would say
it's really
half a quad.
Yeah. Some would say if you're good at that Belgian math, but nobody can do that. But yeah, that's wonderful because that's what I wanted it to be. I wanted all those fruits to not be somebody put them in.
I'll stand by.
These are Thank you. This is non-adjuncted. I think this.
Tell me about how you stored it. Where'd you get it? Where'd it come from?
It's about 2 years old.
Tell us how many of the hacks in taking care of this are in the book for our gentle listeners.
Well, some of that's a little bit of a black box. My brother lived in Belgium for about 2 years. I went and visited him. We didn't drink any beer. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you did.
We drank beer.
All the beer.
And he shipped back a ton of it. So he got me some 12s. He got me some 8s. They all went, quicker than they should have, but I made them last. A couple weekends ago, I went and picked these up from him. Been sitting room temp in his basement. Again, about 2 years old.
Nice.
I think it holds up.
Yeah, definitely. Did he store them upright?
He stored them upright.
All right, good to know. Uh-huh. See, that's if you believe, best and question. I do, that's the proof right there. I'm doing it wrong.
Uh-huh.
John Hall. John Hall's got that devilish twinkle in his eye. What's your hack? I already gave him shit for the standing up bottle.
All right, so there are the only two beer-based food recipes you really need. Number 37 is beer canned chicken. And number 38 is beer and bratwurst, a taste of Wisconsin summer, although I'm pretty sure anybody in Wisconsin would argue that it's year-round, as it were. But the official food of one of the United States beeriest states. And I agree with your method of how brats should be boiled in beer, because that's really the way to do it.
Essential.
You don't say what kind of beer to use.
There's one or two beers mentioned in there.
Is there?
Not in this, not in that entry.
Okay.
In the book. Tried to dance around that a little bit. Didn't want to play too many favorites.
Okay.
So this was one. I mean, it's Miller Lite all the way. All
right.
Like, come on.
All right. Another point for Ben.
Yeah.
All right. If you said anything else, like, we would end it right now.
I would not.
It'd have to be Miller Lite.
Do you make
brats with Miller Lite at home?
Sorry?
Do you make bratwurst with Miller Lite at home?
No.
Okay. At a good Wisconsin cookout, they've got a quarter barrel just for the brats.
So to answer that question, and this is just my own personal preference, but I am a griller or a sauerkraut steamer.
Happening. Justin, your phone is going off.
Your phone is ringing and making the thieves miserable, Justin.
Who's calling you, Justin?
Justin.
Did they find your wallet in Denver?
Don't cheat on us, Justin. Anyway,
Justin lost his wallet in Denver.
I'm a griller of all encased meats, unless I'm steaming in sauerkraut. I'm not a beer guy. But I get it. I've had them that way. I do understand.
Have you ever been to Wisconsin?
You were just there.
I was actually just there, as a matter of fact.
You played Golden Tee.
I saw Golden Tee. Where was I when I saw Golden
Tee? That was an entire summer.
Where was I when I saw Golden Tee?
I don't know. Some excellent brewery that I sent you to. Yeah. And you acted like you were offended.
What are you talking about?
He sent me to a brewery bar in Madison where I saw
Golden Tee. The one that makes pure beer.
What is it?
The one that makes pure beer, right?
No. The pure beer guy's still dead to me. All right, we'll figure it out.
All right.
Anyway. Yes, I've been to Madison, but funny enough, I was there for a sporting event, so I was
the BYU game?
No, I was. I did a half Ironman.
Oh.
So I wasn't eating till I was done, and then I just walked into the seven breweries these guys sent me to and got myself, like, dehydrated, starving, wasted before I ate any food. So I know that this very cool middle of Madison brewery, like, lager brewery. I remember they had three proper lagers, like, lager pilsner or whatever is their first three choices. And they had very good plate of sausages with sauerkraut, which I'm sure they boiled in their own beer. But it was
such
a good day.
The best bratwurst I ever had was in the parking lot of a gas station in Wisconsin, not far from the New Glarus Brewery. Like, I swear to God, I spent my afternoon drinking there, and I needed to, like, pee almost immediately after I left the brewery, even though I just had, because it was that much beer. And we stopped, and there's a guy just grilling bratwurst in the parking lot.
I was going to say, they didn't have it on the rollers.
No. This was, like, a guy in the gas station parking lot just, like, selling them for a buck a piece. And I was like,
how? Like you were at a Grateful Dead show?
Yeah, and I was like, how can I? It would be irresponsible for me not to buy one of these.
I agree.
I bought five and, you know, shared them with everybody.
This is why I love you.
Carbon 4. Was the one, right?
No. Carbon 4 was the very good brewery I went to that had good beers. But
yeah, that's
talking
what I'm
about,
talking
like,
about.
Like, in the middle of town.
Oh, no, Golden Tea?
Brew pub. Gold. There's no Golden Tea machine at Carbon 4.
Ale Asylum?
That
might have been Ale Asylum.
Yeah. Anyway. So, John, you promised me you had more hacks to talk about.
There's a lot that are in here.
You never answered my question. How many of these hacks are what type of hack? Like, break that down for me.
Wasn't dodging. You veered off.
No, I know. That's what the show does.
Welcome to the show, man.
I've listened.
Have you listened to the show?
Absolutely.
God bless you. So you're the guy.
I'm the guy.
This might not be efficient marketing for you because now you have to go home
and listen. I know that iTunes data reporting is rough, but that's me.
What's iTunes data reporting?
Man.
Do we have iTunes data? Because you won't tell me.
Yeah, it's like...
I hear from
maybe that's outdated. I haven't had a podcast in years.
I've heard from other podcasters that we do great. I've heard from Justin that he thinks people listen to us. I don't know.
We got a lot of reviews on iTunes.
Do we?
Yeah.
All right, let's go back to the question I asked before you
snapping back.
Justin.
I mean, you know, kind of lame, loose answer, but yeah. I'd say it's about half and half. I think that, okay. that half are functional and half are fun.
Is there
and
one in there if you're geeky
like,
yeah, enough?
I mean, there's 100 in there. Right. The editor was like, no, we need more. We need more hacks.
Why? 100 like, such what, a perfect
Do you have any hacks, editor?
Probably they do. Right. So yeah, you, but, yeah, here's you, the thing,
I, Justin and I. But you don't want editor suggestions on that kind of thing. I mean, Workman's great, you know, but still.
No, but let's go back to. So you talk about how
Two
to
editors,
shotgun a beer.
No hacks.
You talk about how to shotgun. A
I
beer
do.
Beer.
That's.
And I was listening to some friends of mine talk about shotgunning, and what he said he'd realized, and I disagreed with him on this because I'm a Jersey guy and we shotgun everything. We shotgun.
I'm
milk.
From a magical place called Long Island.
So you know.
Mm-hmm.
But he was saying that this was just a great equalizer of high school, and that the whole reason that he was shotgunned was to come to grips with the embarrassment of splashing yourself in beer. And then I saw that you had the right way to shotgun a beer. Mm-hmm. So what I want your opinion on if he's right, and that we've all kind of taught ourselves to deal with the male group and embarrassment by punching a hole in a can and getting beer all over ourselves, versus your solution to the proper
yeah,
shotgun.
And this one was grabbed and dragged out of the recesses of the memory. I will say that probably the one hack that I didn't test in the creation of this book was shotgunning a beer. It's been a minute. But... back in,
yeah, I feel like
know,
we got to make
the easiest one.
A beer. I feel like we got to
back in high school.
Justin,
we'll get some cans.
Justin, go get a can
yeah.
of beer. He's got a
we
shot
got time.
Of beer.
I'm sure I've still got it. Number one rule: no garage doors. It's an old high school rule.
Tell me about it. I'm intrigued. You've
keep,
got me.
Keep
you
it
win.
Tight.
You win now.
Keep it tight. You get in there. You're sawing away with, you know, the keys to your parents' house.
Right.
It's very easy for that hole to get far too big and,
I got
and much larger than your mouth can reasonably accommodate. And
that's all right.
I like
that's
it.
Pretty much it. That and you want to make sure that
just
you
so
are,
you know, when you said no garage doors, I wanted there to be a tragic story where you where you'd like successfully shotgun the beer
oh,
perfectly
God, remember
jumped
Ken?
Up and
yeah,
the ceiling just... was 2 feet too short because of the garage door over your head and you somehow hurt yourself. Damn it.
Everybody's okay.
Stories are never what I want them to be.
That no. and you want to get you want to have the opening, you want to saw your hole with the mouth hole? What is that even
right.
called?
The part where you put your mouth. So
yeah,
the bottom
one.
Of the can hole.
Facing up.
So
when
so
you snap
it, on the side of the opening.
Mm-hmm. And so the airflow is optimal and you know they're not essentially competing against each other.
I like by the way, I like that it's our first day at Treadwell Park, and
we're
about to
shotgun.
Ruin their back room.
You know what I'm really excited by, though? And I probably won't make you shotgun a beer unless he actually brings us three cans.
Yeah.
Because I would never make you shotgun alone, but I'm wondering what Justin... God damn it, Justin, he nailed it.
Are these seltzer?
Oh, man, and it's Nooner Pills.
Nooner
you
Pills?
Guys,
we can shotgun a Nooner
just
Pills.
Like Ken Grossman
actually
intended.
Had, and this is the one that was, you know, the book is supposed to be fun... And I think incidentally, we'll.
All right, so hold on, talk me
your
through
your publicist.
This.
Is I'm nervous right now. This is why publicists usually don't come on this program. Okay.
So wait, I've got a butter knife. I've got my finger in my. Knowing that
yep.
circles don't have fronts, my can's mouth lines up with the barcode.
Yep.
So I'm going to put the hole in the barcode.
Look out
yep.
for the black glasses.
That's all right. It. You look.
All right.
Out.
So
you've got a good target.
How do you suggest doing this? Because it's been. Are
John,
we're
move
piercing
because
first?
I don't want us to. And please pay are attention to all of
keys.
Justin's expenses.
Does anybody have a key?
Yeah.
I'm going to give you my butter knife when I'm done. Ready?
Oh, yeah. It's about that good. Oh,
all right,
man.
Guys, we're about to live shotgun please. Nooner Pilsner. John's
not,
already
not
started.
From Jersey. What are you doing?
See, I nailed it. Look, I don't have a garage door. Wait, I want.
Cass is going to be pissed.
I want full bend feedback here.
Great pains to cut the right hole. Notice that I don't have any beer spilling.
You
on
did
me
nail it. But to
all.
Be fair, I want to point
wow,
out
wow, that's a wide,
that my
that's a wide
non-garage hole? Door yeah. is thumb size yeah. so that I can wait. Ready?
See this one?
10 seconds.
This one's going to be everywhere.
Ooh.
Of course I'm dumb first.
Of course
oh,
I
baby.
Can't get my fucking...
Jesus Christ.
See, God damn it, millennial.
There it's been a while since I've done this. I didn't
oh,
finish
Jesus.
It either.
You didn't have enough breach there.
I know, I'll tell you.
This
right.
actually came out
now
pretty
now let's get
clean.
Back to the important story. I think
you
did well.
Look at this awful, awful hole that I put here.
All right, so now you can...
I'm actually
you can,
pretty proud of myself.
You can definitely teach me something here.
It was
Ben.
Fun.
So what I did was take the edge of the knife,
yeah.
put it flat against the beer... and push into it to open up a hole that I could then cover with my thumb. And I covered myself with beer, much like my friend posited. You put the beer flat on the table, jammed into it with a knife. No beer got anywhere. And then you X'd it and just pushed the hole deeper. Is that how that went?
I mean, it depends on how that initial incision goes.
Yep.
And then you have to react from there. But yeah, I mean, I think that the precision and delicacy with which you cut the hole is...
That wasn't delicacy. It's the exact opposite. You plunged it as if it was the heart attack victim in Pulp Fiction. You went right at it.
It's like you wanted to stab her three times?
Yeah, just right in there.
John, we'll clean up after. Don't worry about it.
John's really worried. He made a bit of a mess.
I did.
I made a bigger mess. So
again, I'm normally... keys are usually my implement of choice.
So I used my my kryptonite lock key.
Oh, see, and that's a tough one. It doesn't have any...
It's too small.
This doesn't have an edge. This was my mistake.
Doesn't have an edge. Doesn't really serrate.
You need, like, a proper, like...
It's worth it. Like, all the disgusting, embarrassing action should happen after you pop it. Everything beforehand can be...
Should be like, smooth
should,
and...
Should be smooth and, dare I say, dignified.
I want to beg you to throw out book 299 hacks, but shotgun 8-1, and give us the philosophy of shotgunning in 250 pages or less.
I mean, you guys should read the shower beers chapter. Actually, one of the few...
I'm going to need a shower after.
Good internet stories I ever wrote.
I think I just saw a shower beer. But go on.
One of the few good internet stories I ever wrote was a... I think it was about a 4,000-word guide to day drinking.
Okay.
And how it should be accomplished in once again, a reasonable and semi-dignified fashion.
I think Aaron Goldfarb probably wrote that piece.
And, yeah, I still, like, at least once a week on Twitter, I get screamed at by somebody who's saying that, what do you mean I can't take shots all day long on a Sunday when the whole goal is to, like, get yourself into a normal place on Monday?
But so I think.
So yeah, I like thinking.
We'll get there,
about
but hold on. I want to stay here because it's. I'm now because I've shotgunned a beer and because we've gotten there and because you gave us the excuse to prove to all the thieves at home that Justin and John are shitty at pounding beers.
Oh yeah.
Compared to me, I beat them by 50 seconds each.
I couldn't get.
Did
the
you
dab
even start yours yet? Anyway, but mostly it seems and the thieves know that kind of our message is don't yuck anybody's yum and have fun and stop. Stop being pretentious and what's actually going on and how do we discuss that? And it seems from that, like 4,000 words on day drinking, you seem to enjoy the fun of it, but tell me how much you connect to what we would call the shitlords versus the frat guys, right? If those are the two ends of, let's not talk about people that don't enjoy beer, like let's not get them involved. Let's go to, you know, Bon Jovi concert parking lot, to mom's basement and a vertical of Dirklerd. Where do you think you fall on that pendulum? And are you looking to find the book for the people you want to drink with? Or are you looking to make that gap smaller or bigger?
This is a big question.
Well, I just shotgunned a beer, man. This is when I get pretty. This is when I get pretty.
I mean, I'd say due to the realities of being a young person growing up on Long Island, going to school, you know, in a place like Wisconsin where there's Miller Lite about and it comes from frats, and in parking lots outside a football game. I think that, and frankly, like where beer was at that point of time, graduated high school in 99, that I think I kind of started on the frat boy-er Bon Jovi parking lot side of things. Have the majority of my personal interest is in, you know, let's call it better beer.
Okay.
In craft beer, I like.
How much of that is other than your brother moving to Belgium? Like, how much of that was just him being like, dude, this thing tastes like it's got fruit in it, and it's a fucking everyday 8%.
No.
You won't give him any credit. There. Fuck you, brother. I got siblings. I understand. Let it go. Sorry, I asked.
Him being
like
10
more years, you'll be like, thank God for my brother.
Yeah. He didn't move there for the beer. I visited him there for the beer.
Okay. Fair answer.
But no, I think that I, you know, I like what I like. I like to explore. I like challenging myself, although I do fall back on, you know, like just really good IPAs. But I love a good barley line. I love a good stout. I know who those people are. I hang out with some of those people on the other end of the spectrum. I think they're wonderful.
Say one name.
and
Jim. God damn it, Jim.
They often have very, very good beer. I think that this book is not for them. I imagine that some of those people will get this book as a gift from somebody who's like, well, they love beer. And that's
fine. I can almost guarantee my stepbrother's going to get this for
me.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they'll, you know.
It's money in your pocket.
They might have a thing or two to say, because that's what a lot of people who really love anything want to think that they know better. But I also hope that they can open it up and be like, you know what? That was pretty good. I like that one. And
when I saw this book from your publicist arrive at my house, which I guess Justin just gives my address to anybody these days.
Sure.
You dick. Anyway,
if you want it, steal this to your podcast.
When I saw the cover, and I'm sure, and you said you listened to the show. These guys write into all that. I have no idea how it works. When I saw it, I was like, oh my God, Aunt Eugene is going to give me this for Christmas. Like, I was 100% sure that my aunt, who knows I like beer, is going to see this book and be like, this is Augie's Christmas gift.
What's your aunt's name?
Eugenia.
Okay.
I know old people. Yes. but I saw it.
How'd you feel about that?
Yeah. But how much of that is just by design versus just reconciling yourself to it says beer in large print and it's autumn, so it's going to be everybody's stocking stuffer?
I mean,
you know what I mean? Like, you work in publishing, so you have to have somehow thought about that.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, there's who's going to buy it. There's who's going to read it. Hopefully those things overlap.
Eugene is going to buy it.
As much as
possible. If you don't let it push out past $20, she's never paid $20 for anything.
I think it's impossible to receive this book as a gift, no matter where you are in that spectrum, and not open it and be curious and check it out.
Yep.
And hopefully it delivers.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, it's there are thicker Bibles of beer nerddom.
Well, there's some you can rub your hand vigorously against and smell paper. So
I wrote a scratch and sniff book.
He knows what you wrote. And I wasn't talking about your book.
I mean,
I was talking about Goldfarb's last
book. Oh, I'm sorry.
Anyway.
Wasn't that Whiskey Hacks?
You keep telling me to get to the Black Glass.
Yeah, I know.
And then you ask about... Anyway. So, goddamn.
Don't have to say it again. Just go ahead.
So, this is...
So, glass two. Yeah. What do you got?
Some sort of imperial stout, imperial porter.
Yeah, it's definitely...
roasty, like almost acrid black roasty. But
little pops of those chocolate things from the other beer behind... First smell I get is exactly what you're talking about, Black Patent.
Yes.
But then right under that is, here's some sugar to make that okay.
Little toffee, little hints of... I'm not 100% sure on barrel aging or wood aging, Justin's going on the floor.
I don't think it was aged, do you?
No, I don't.
I don't think it was aged. I think it's clean.
There's something about the overall booziness of it that how often do you get, if it is a imperial stout, imperial porter these days, that isn't barrel aged or some sort of whiskey or something like that?
Fine. Maybe you see him trying to make me talk about my beers, and I'm not going to fall for it. You can't make me do it.
So
now I definitely have a spirit. Now that you've said it, I definitely have a spirit in the booziness.
Okay.
Here's the thing. I feel like this thing had a boozy level and it got pushed like 2 points past by spirit.
But I'm just wondering if this has some age on it because of that as well. You think this is fresh? You think this is young?
I think this is how this beer was put out.
Okay.
I'd put it within 6 months.
All right. Where are you having it?
Jesus. I might put it in a chili. Uh-oh. And you know I never do that because you did a book about that and I hate it. But that... I don't like cooking with beer.
My book was about pairing good beer with good food.
You also did a cookbook that had beer in some recipes because I wrote one of them.
Had some in it.
Anyway.
that was the Jersey cookbook. Furious with me for not including his chili recipe in this book.
But Earl.
Earl's angry at you?
Earl's
pissed. But if you're serious about
this, by the way,
they almost slip out.
Oh, good, okay.
But what I'm saying is if you're serious about chili and you know what happens and you know what happens to alcohol and tomatoes, plus how some chocolate really roots everything together, plus that booziness would cook right off. I feel like if you were just doing like a chili for the four of us tonight, I was like, we were drinking, I'd be like, oh, this would be good. I feel like I just pour it on top, let it cook off, and I think it would umami and round out that chili.
What beer do you use when you're cooking your chili?
I don't.
You just use whatever you have?
Whatever I'm drinking goes in to do that.
It's the one time a year when I'm making chili that I'll buy Old Heathen from Weyerbacher and throw it in chili.
Hmm.
Their imperial stout.
Nice.
So now you know a little
so
bit more.
So 364 days a year you hate Old Heathen.
No.
That's what I heard you say.
Yeah. The one day.
That one day.
Do you guys want to know what this is?
Not yet, because John hasn't written his sentence. No, I haven't drunk it yet. I've just cooked with it. But what I would love is if we did do that and we could plan it, then it'd be fun to serve it with it.
Yeah. I'm going to take this snowmobiling.
Hey, nice.
You tonight? Are going to die snowmobiling.
This is an Imperial Stout. This is from Oscar Blues. This is 1050.
Nice.
1050. One of the classics.
A classic. The old 1050.
And no barrel.
No barrel.
Just boozy as fuck.
Not the big can with the barrel.
They do some cool stuff. We had some of their coffee last year that they did their bourbon barrel roasters
or whatever?
Yeah.
Had you been there, we wouldn't have lost the two greatest episodes ever before tonight.
I'm coming this year, baby.
All right. So we'll see. I feel like we've talked about the book enough.
Yeah.
And I want to thank you for coming. But
Justin's got a letter.
No, we're not to letters yet, are we?
Oh yeah, we're definitely to letters. Oh,
God damn it. I'm sorry, Ben. So I was going to ask you literally to talk about your brother and the Belgian and tripping over there and finding that thing, but now nobody will ever know, so save that for your next guest appearance.
Yeah.
Read a letter, Justin. That'll be fun, too. Justin.
We got some feedback from our live shows.
Oh, did we? Oh,
live show. We didn't do one. Yeah, we did.
Are you just reading Facebook posts? Because I fielded all those.
No. Okay. This is a letter.
Here we go. Who's it from?
Our friend Tim Hitchings.
Hey, Tim.
Oh, Tim.
Tim was in the audience.
Constructive feedback. He was.
Constructive feedback. I'll be the judge of that.
We should
probably
be doing this during a production meeting, but that's fine.
No, I wanted to do it on air because I think they're all good points.
All right.
I know pulling out my knife, pen in my pocket to help John
open
boxes.
He's got a shotgun of beer every time. He's reading like he speaks English.
May have scared him, but it was really no big deal. So don't worry, John. He wasn't trying to slash you.
Okay. Thanks, Tim.
So many people think John is pretty. He's constantly for fear in his life of somebody hurting the pretty.
I got these scars. Yeah.
All right, number one feedback, and I heard this from a lot of people, need better sound for the audience.
Yeah, that's fine. Yes. When Cass shows up next time, like we'll scold him,
yeah.
I also heard that I'm a little OCD about it. Like somebody yelled at me on Facebook for being like, I will not hear feedback. Just turn everything off. I'm going home.
Yeah, I was sitting next to you, and I can attest to that.
Yeah, there's things I can't stand.
Consider printing out the Patreon names ahead of time on stickers if you need to identify us.
No.
You must have the list that could be used. We have a list.
And here's why I say no to that. Sorry, Tim. I'm sure you're right, but it's my show. One, the handwritten things were awesome. And two, the fact that they served to identify the glasses later was wonderful. So we did this live show, and I said to Justin, I was like, just put everybody's name on them, because when we're drinking, we're thinking it won't be quick, and we want to be able to be conversational. So as we're in the audience, we're reaching out, just make sure they're written. They're all handwritten. Then we had these black glasses for everybody, and they just wrapped the name tags around the glasses, so as they went back to get refilled, they came back to the right people. And I was like, we should do that at every party I've ever had. It's like a wine charm for beer drinking.
You realize that like we basically swap glasses every time we do this show. We are so intimate on this show.
But I liked it when you broke your little glass, or I broke your little glass, and you had the big glass, and I knew. But to be fair, I don't drink with anybody I'm afraid of. I would drink Ben's shotgun right now.
Yeah. All right.
All right. I likely wouldn't buy another black glass as I already have one.
But you don't have this one.
You can't bring yours to the next show, by the way. You can't just show up with your...
Right, and we are doing new shows.
I disagree with
that. We'll announce those
soon. We will be doing more live shows. John loved the live show, and I'm willing to back him up on his love.
But can he bring his existing black glass?
No, I'm 100% okay with that.
You are?
I'm 100% okay with that.
For Tim Hitchings, anyway.
For Tim.
No, if you were one of those 20, you can bring it. And if you're one of the next 100, you can bring it.
All right, but he has some logistics. He has some issues with what we did with the logistics of handing out the beer.
Okay, so you know it's Justin's fault, right?
The logistics of handing out all that liquid was difficult but well handled.
Just so you know, that's not an issue, Justin. That's praise.
Yeah.
Wait, I haven't finished. Wouldn't recommend trying to do it next time, though.
Because there's going to be 100 people.
Or select three Patreons randomly and sit them facing the audience and get a quick description from them as part of the show. So he's saying incorporate maybe 3-4 people next time. Have them say something about the beer. And
Tim wants to be on the show. Tim can come on the show anytime he wants.
Yeah, come on, Tim. You can do it.
Anybody can come on the show. It's a Patreon level.
Yeah.
Go on.
Yeah. No, that's all. That's his all only thing.
Well,
that's it.
Thanks.
All
right.
Well, to be fair, that seems...
That seems fair.
So much
better.
More
than,
civil than I expected.
Yeah.
I know.
Justin, your lead up
Tim,
to it was like, Tim was going
to
be like, and I hate you guys.
I feel like Justin's such a millennial drama queen. He just felt like that was vital. He said you did a good job, Justin. Did you just want us to say it? Because we don't think you did a good job.
You know who
he
was great
that night? He told me afterward
in
person that I
Mitch Steele. Mitch Steele was so great that night.
Amazing.
What a gentleman.
Literally.
So we are going to announce some new live shows coming up fairly soon. And if people want to learn about that, be in the know by going to our website, stealthisbeer.com, and signing up for our email newsletter, which is where people will find out first where we're going to do our next live shows, plural.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool.
So I'm going to say thank you to Ben, and I'm going to say
I would also
as a guy who owns
Ben.
A brewery and reads beer books
oh, dear.
And thinks hacks are fun little Facebook cooking tricks to make brownies and mugs. Just the fact that this book was the catalyst for us shotgunning a beer on the show proves that it's a fun book, probably worth the $20 or so it costs.
Yeah.
And don't be the douche. Is it more than 20?
$16.99, I believe.
So good. So. That's 20 or so. There's
man,
tax and like
significantly cheaper on Amazon,
dude.
Unfortunately,
dude, I believe there's 100% tax on books in Texas.
When does it come out, Ben? Is it already out?
I don't know. But no, it's October 2nd.
October 2nd.
Look at me knowing my shit. Look how proud she is of me.
This show will air October 1st.
Right on. So, but anyway, so
order
so
it today, get it tomorrow.
So listen, yeah. If you listen to this show, you have
you
to be a little bit. You have to be a little bit douchey about beer to listen to us be douchey about beer. But don't be douchey. Have fun. Buy the book. Find a reason to shotgun a beer with your friends and remember what it's all about.
Ben, thanks
Ben
for
thank you for joining us. Justin, thanks for knowing how to read after you shotgun a nooner.
Man, I made a fucking mess over here. I gotta get right, them up.
We'll be back next week at Treadwell Park.
And they should be Patreoning us.
They should be Patreoning us.
And get at us. Let us know what you think.
Cheers.
Cheers. Bye.